This is what they got.
Meeting will come to order. This committee writes a bill that funds capital projects for higher education, for the environment, for economic development, and of course for transportation. And sometimes that is local roads and bridges that are all around the state. But today we're focusing on transit corridors. And the presentation from the Metro Transit Development Board and the 10 bills we are hearing demonstrate one thing very clearly. And that is, there is a plan. Often when we talk about public mass transit, people say, well, if we just had a plan, it's like I'd be more motivated then. Well, there is a plan. You see some maps before you, and we'll be talking about many of those. There is a system, and that system will be seamless, and it will be comprehensive. All parts of the metropolitan region are included, and there's no longer a seven-county perimeter, as you will learn today. Our corridors go well beyond, to Duluth, to St. Cloud and beyond, and we hope soon to Rochester. And so that is a huge challenge for us, and certainly for this committee. The presentation by the MTDB, the Metro Transit Ways Development Board, will demonstrate that how local governments work together to make this happen. They work together for the common good and not just for parochial self-interest. We'll invite the chair, Peter McLaughlin, the Hennepin County Commissioner, who's the MTDB chair, to come forward. And also, is Jim McDonough going to join you at the table? Or for questions later?
For questions later.
Okay. Okay. And to the committee, Commissioner McLaughlin and I have been working on these issues together for a very long time. We go back to those early hearings and the Hiawatha Corridor. And what we always did in those hearings, even though we were only talking about the Hiawatha Corridor, which was going to serve the area from Minneapolis to the airport, we always had all seven county commissioners in the room to say, we're all in this together. And I think we probably have all of those counties represented again today in the room to say we're all in this together. What's different today is we probably have corridor bills in most of those counties now, too, that we're hearing. And so we've come a long way since those early days together, and we are delighted to have you here. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Peter McLaughlin. I'm Hennepin County Commissioner and Chair of the Hennepin County Regional Railroad Authority and Chair of the Metro Transit Ways Development Committee, Board, rather. And as a former member of the House of Representatives, it's always great to be back before a House committee. The Metro Transit Ways Development Board is a seven county, it's the seven county in the metropolitan area, the Regional Railroad Authority, working together on transit way planning and development since 1992, working in partnership. It's been a successful partnership across a broad range of units of government, and along with our residents and with businesses. The MTDB board membership is before you, and a number of the members are here today. Will Branning is here from Dakota County in Paul Krause's place. We've got them all lined up over there, Madam Chair. Our secretary is Jim McDonough from Ramsey County. Commissioner Dan Earhart from Anoka County is here. Former Representative Workman is not here from Carver County. We're hoping he'll be here. Commissioner Ulrich, John Ulrich from Scott County. And Commissioner Myra Peterson from Washington County.
Thank you very much for being here.
And we appreciate the chance to be here, Madam Chair. We think that we learned over a number of years that hanging together is the way to get something done. Maybe it's not quite old Benjamin Franklin's notion that if we don't hang together, we'll all hang separately. It's not quite that dire, but in fact, to get something done, we believe we do need to, in fact, hang together, and that's what we've done. I want to start by thanking this committee. And, you know, back when it was a lonely advocacy for rail transit, this committee and you, Madam Chair, as the chief author of the bill that actually made the breakthrough to get Hiawatha funded and to start the planning of the other corridors, you believed in the vision that a bunch of counties brought to you, and you allowed it to go forward. And there are several other members who are here. Bernie, Mr. Leader, who was elected the same year that I was elected to the House, and others were here on this committee at that time. Wouldn't have happened without you, and we want to first thank you, because you had faith in our vision and the fact that we could pull something off and do something that would be for the betterment of the state and the region. So we thank this committee. The result of this has been Hiawatha is a huge success. I'm not going to go into the numbers, but exceeding ridership on time, on budget, couldn't have been, I exceeded everyone's wildest expectations with the possible exception of a few people like myself. it's going great. North Star signed an agreement with Burlington Northern today, or yesterday that was, and they're now moving forward. There's an imminent full funding grant agreement with them so that construction can go forward. Cedar, there's ongoing investment in that corridor. Central is entering preliminary engineering, and the depot has received commitments for huge federal dollars. And sometimes it's hard to believe just how much progress we've made. I've always been an optimist, and so we're going to continue to be optimistic because we really can't afford to be otherwise, and we can get things done. I want to start with this chart, which is, you can't read, but it's a listing of if every metro area in the United States were ranked with the world economies in terms of gross domestic product, the Twin Cities would be the 44th largest economy in the world. Now, we'd be smaller than the Spanish economy, we'd be smaller than Switzerland and Greece, but we'd be larger than the economy of Venezuela, or Egypt, or my personal favorite, Ireland. And so, we're a major player in the world market, and that's really what we're talking about, and we're talking about investments that will keep this economy, this regional economy, competitive. That's what this is about right now. It's the next generation of investments that we need to make. Population is projected to grow by over 1 million people in this region. Employment is going to move along with that. Our economy has outperformed the national economy on average for many, many years. We have the percent of our workforce that is, of our population that's in the workforce is the highest in the country among these major metropolitan areas. The density here, which is always one of the things that the critics attacked us for in terms of investing in transit. Our density is low compared to other regions around the country. But if you look at this next map that shows the density of employment, you can start to identify the key centers that need to be linked together. And that's been our theory. You can see, of course, downtown Minneapolis, the University of Minnesota, St. Paul, the Mall of America, and the airport, that whole corridor there, and you can see that there are concentrations of employment which are fertile ground for making investment in transit. Now, we've been suffering here with our number of trips in this region, transportation trips, has been increasing dramatically. It's essentially doubled since 1970. The vehicle miles traveled, same basic pattern, and it's going to continue into the future. Along with that, we get congested miles of freeway. And this graph shows you that we started out in 1982. We had less congested percentage of our freeway miles congested than tier cities around the country or large cities on average. That was still the case in 1990, but by 1999 we were worse off than our peer cities around the country and large cities around the country. Lane miles with congestion going up. You can see we flipped this graph over, you can sort of see a tipping point there, but you see the graph is going up dramatically in terms of the rate at which our lane miles across this region are getting congested. Again, we have hours spent in congestion delays. These are 1999 figures from the Texas Institute and Transportation Institute, and those have been going up faster than virtually every city in the region in the country. And you can see that the delay that people are experiencing, our residents, our voters, that has increased dramatically in this region, since 1982. This map, I think, is a good illustration. This is the Twin Cities, and the dark green shows the commuting time in 2007. The dark green, you could get to downtown Minneapolis, if that was where you were going to be working, get home from downtown Minneapolis, if that's where you're working. You can get there between a half an hour and an hour. The light green, you could get home within a half an hour. That has will shrink by 2020 very dramatically, by more than half, and that's because the roads are getting more and more congested. So in terms of a family's lives here, getting home from work to take care of the family, have dinner, it's going to be harder and harder. This will create employment issues as well, because we really don't have one single employment shed anymore, because people can't travel all the way across the region the way they used to be able to. There's your map of the traffic congestion and the dark red lines there. You can see where the problems exist, and those problems are going to continue to get worse. Then on the environment, the transportation sector is a major contributor to greenhouse gas emissions, and the transportation sector constitutes over 70% of all U.S. oil consumption. So it has some global implications as well for us to try to deal with. On the conservation side, these are just estimates for North Star, done by the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy. 8.9 tons of CO2 reduced per year when North Star goes into effect, 30 tons of NOx, nearly 2 million gallons of gasoline saved, and over 900,000 hours in commuting. That's part of what these investments will do for our region and our state. So the snapshot here, Madam Chair and members, is we're going to see population growth and employment growth. Those are good things. That means we're a competitive region, a region people want to come to, a region in which businesses want to locate. We're going to see household growth, pollution growth, and congestion growth. So the Metro Transit Ways Development Board has had for over a decade the investments of trying to improve transportation, spur economic growth, and reduce pollution. We've summarized it in two words: more faster. We think we can't wait. The delays that are built into the current system are going to cost us money and cost us time and going to hurt the economy of this region. So our vision, Madam Chair, has been to advocate for a vision of transit and roads working together, an integrated multimodal transportation system that includes roadway improvements, better bus service, new transit ways, and a transit way is either a dedicated busway or a dedicated rail corridor. Either one, both of which we're working on right now, that will produce, and we're going to work overall for safe, dependable, and fast transportation alternatives. That's been our goal. We want to continue to do that. This is a map from Transit for Livable Communities that shows the network that is being created and is under consideration here in this region. We think we need a system plan. As you indicated, Madam Chair, there is a plan. There is a plan. I've had a map in my office that I drew by hand for over a decade. That was my plan, and I made sure I could see it from my desk, and so it's been my inspiration. But in fact, there is an official plan that's been adopted by both the Met Council and Metro Transit Ways Development Board and others, and it includes core bus system improvements, high volume corridors, and integration of various transit modes. And so there is a plan there. The old arguments that, well, the two lines will build a line and the two won't come together. That's all, that's just behind us now. And we are working forward and working together. I just wanted to show you this is a nice little historic artifact for people to consider. Starting back there in 1900, we had about 250 total miles, track miles, of transit in the metropolitan area. And it climbed till in the late 20s and early 30s. It peaked at over 500 miles of streetcar line in this region. And then we see the gradual decline and then the closing in the 50s, down to zero. And then we see this little line starting in 2000 where we move forward with the Hiawatha, the 11 miles of Hiawatha. But we're hoping that we can get back to a robust system that would provide the kind of transportation system that we need in this region. So we have been working, and you're going to hear today, various proposals about North Star, the Northwest Corridor, Central Corridor, Cedar Avenue. Those are all Tier 1 projects under the Metropolitan Council's plan, along with the I-35W busway. Those are all there in their Tier 1, and those are to be done by 2020. And then we have Tier 2 projects, which under the Met Council's plans aren't to be under construction until after 2020. That includes Red Rock, Rush Line, and the Southwest Corridor. And so our proposal, as the Metro Transit Ways Development Board, is more faster. We don't think we can wait. until after 2020 for these projects that are in Tier 2. We don't think we should be waiting to deal with other corridors that are now cropping up. And I can tell you, and you can feel it too, that used to be there weren't a lot of that people out there looking for transit corridors, and now people are really interested, and you're going to hear from a lot of the corridors today. So we believe that we need more faster. Our problem in this region is not, and I underline the not, it's not a lack of vision or a plan to go with that vision. It's not a lack of local partners. You've had counties year after year advocating on behalf of this of investment, increased investment in transit. And it's not a lack of federal partners. And this committee and others have heard from Congressman Oberstar, but we've had great support, and we continue to have great support from our congressional delegation, and they stand ready to assist us in making the kind of investments that we want. The problem, as we see it, is a lack of an adequate, dedicated source of funds for transit investment and operations. Now, that's not the province of this committee. And this committee will be dealing with bonding, and that's what we consider that to be a major component. But we think the structural problem here, if we're going to do more faster, there's a limit to how much state bonding can be done. And we need another source of revenue to do that. In these projects, these transitway projects, busways and rail, the split that's been evolving has been a 50-50 split between the federal government and a combination of state and local sources. For the new members on the committee, I want to just talk a little bit about the federal money. It comes under federal New Starts. That's how we built Hiawatha. That's how Central is going to be built. That's a competitive transit-only fund. Can't be used for highway purposes. So by seeking federal money under federal New Starts to build these rail lines, we are not stealing money from roads in the metro area or in rural Minnesota. We're not displacing federal money. Federal highway money or federal highway investment. What the New Starts money does on a competitive basis across the country is it adds federal money for Minnesota transportation needs, meeting Minnesota transportation needs. It makes, the federal New Starts money makes the pie bigger for all of Minnesota. We have more resources available. To date, through the efforts of this committee, the Metro Transitways Development Board, Metro Council, and the great help of our federal delegation, we have secured $475 million in federal funding for transit investment. Almost half a billion dollars. If you look at the major projects that are moving forward right now, in development or completed, Hiawatha, North Star, Central Corridor, Union Depot, and Cedar, those projects, when they're completed, will bring $1.1 billion in federal money into this state. It's going to make us more competitive, make us more mobile, improve the environment here. $1.1 billion. And if we move forward on the Tier 2 corridors, it's another a little bit over $1 billion additional dollars in federal money that will be brought here into this region. We think that's a good thing for Minnesota. We want to continue to be competitive as we seek those funds. The question is, can we achieve a vision of a broad investment in these corridors across this region? And can we do it in a timely fashion? We don't think it can be done unless we make some changes. And we think that the immediate priorities... I was in Washington earlier this week seeking federal funding for North Star and other funding for some of the other corridors, but the big piece of federal funding that we're seeking is for North Star, which the state has already completed its investment in, and the work of this committee and the state bonding bill has included that money. So that's taken care of. But we're also seeking state bonding for Central Corridor and the Union Depot, state bonding for Cedar Avenue, for the planning of lines after North Star and Central, and we're going to have continued rail authority support for the planning and development of these corridors. That's how we've solved the problem in the short run. We think that those actions are critical. Long term, we think that there need to be structural changes having to do with the adequate, dedicated source of state funding for transit, and beyond that, planning to determine priorities beyond North Star, Central, Cedar, and the depot that are all in the works right now. We need to work beyond that and figure out how we're going to get those online before 2020 and beyond. One of the things that happens when you are chair of a joint powers board of seven counties, or if you're a member of the legislature and chairing a committee that has representatives from all over the state, you've got to figure out how to create equity, geographic equity, regional equity. In my view, having been chair of this group for a long time and worked with my colleagues on the county boards and the rail authorities, but also with members of the legislature and members of our congressional delegation, I think the keys to achieving regional equity over time is, first, an aggressive regional vision, something that will inspire people and have enough scope to it that it's actually going to move the region forward. We need a seamless system that integrates all modes of transit. We need to make sure that that happens, that you can make the transfer. I think I'm repeating your words with that. Commissioner Peterson always makes sure that we use the seamless adjective in any presentation that we make. We think that's critically important. We need to reinforce the key hubs in the region. Remember those dots on the employment density map? We need to make sure that we get these hubs that are going to allow people to change lines, change modes in a convenient, seamless way so that you can get from one part of the region into another easily and quickly. That's the role of the depot in St. Paul. That's the role of the Mall of America station, where the LRT pulls in and there's a buses fan out from the Mall of America station out into the suburbs. And it's the function of the Minneapolis Multimodal Hub. So we need to make sure that those are in place so that we can have the entire region participating. We need a long-term investment commitment. We're not going to create equity. You can't create a system for the whole region immediately. But we need a vision that includes the whole region, and then we need to make sure that we have a long-term investment strategy to get there. And we need transitional strategies from bus to busway to rail to make sure that as we move toward this broad regional vision, that we can in fact continue to provide good service in the meantime. And we need to make major strategic investments now. We can't be waiting and waiting and waiting. I mean, just on Central Corridor as an example. If you assume 4% annual inflation, current cost estimate is $930 million. A one-year delay, just a one-year delay, if we're waiting for state matching funds, for example, it's $37 million. And I would say to you that North Star, as Representative Tingle said, knows, we believe it's the project that's been in preliminary engineering longer than any other project in the entire United States of America. Now, its total cost wasn't $930 million, but inflation, every year we waited, inflation ate away at the functionality that we could put out on the street serving people with the money that we had available. So delay is our enemy, and we think that we need to be moving forward. If we look at Red Rock, Rush, and Southwest, which are the three corridors that are in the second tier, Met Council's second tier, which means they're going to have to wait till after 2020. And right now what we have is Central Corridor scheduled to be done in 2014, and this next tier of corridors don't get under construction until after 2020. So we have this six-year gap during which time inflation is going to eat away and eat away and eat away. And again, if you assume 4% annual inflation, no construction between the Central Corridor completion and the start of Tier 2 after 2020, it's going to be over $1 billion in inflation on just those three lines. If you assume 2023 as the midpoint of construction, that's what they use for estimating costs. And $1 billion, Madam Chair, members of this committee, that's enough to build another line, another entire line. And so we are here to say that we want to make sure that we advocate for these lines and that we move forward quickly. And we're advocating for bonding from this committee and the creation of a funding source that was is going to be adequate for the future. This transitways vision, we have light rail, commuter rail, busways, and bus rapid transit. And I want to make a pitch here in particular about the depot in St. Paul, because it is one of those three major hubs that I talked about. We need to make sure that the Central Corridor can get there, because that's how we, that is the single most important thing. And when I talk about regional equity, and I missed this one when we had the regional equity discussion, Madam Chair. When you talk about regional equity, the thing to look at right now is that the next $1 billion in major investment in corridors in the region is going to be going to the East Metro. So that's where we've done Hiawatha, we've got Northwest in the works, and now we're going to make the investment of the next $1 billion, essentially, in federal, state, and local money is going to get it over to the east side of the metropolitan area. And it's just critical that we get to the depot so that we can create this hub over there so that the additional lines, the Red Rock, the Rush, and the studies that have been proposed for Woodbury that you're going to hear about, and the other lines, the Robert Street corridor which has emerged, that those can all come together in that hub. And that's how we're going to create this equity. And we have the problem here in this region is a little more difficult than in other regions in terms of equity, because we've got the two hubs. We've got the two major cities. And we've got Bloomington as a third major hub. And so we need to be, you don't have just sort of one central city and things can kind of flow into that. This is an area where we've got to make sure that we connect these three major areas up all at once. And as you, with Southwest Corridor, we'll be bringing in Eden Prairie as a fourth. So that in terms of a vision, you look at this map. If we're aggressive and pursue this vision with bonding and with a dedicated funding source, we could conceivably have in this region, in this state, a connection that would include St. Paul, the University of Minnesota, downtown Minneapolis, St. Cloud, the Mall of America, the airport, and Eden Prairie Center, just to name sort of the big generators of traffic. And that could happen in relatively short order, but we need to be serious and move forward with this vision. That's what we are committed to at the Metro Transit Ways Development Board. We think that if we join hands together, we can make this happen. But it's only by dreaming and doing some things that people think are a little bit impossible. That's what they said about the first investment. But if only by dreaming can we make our vision come true, and then we have to invest. I'm a practical person here. You've got to invest in that vision, and you turn that vision into a reality. Madam Chair, thank you for the chance to present to you, and I'd be happy to stand for
Well, Commissioner McLaughlin, you had so motivated me with that more and faster that before I came down, I took my black magic marker, and on the 2030 transitway system, I crossed out 2030 and wrote in 2020 as just my way of making that point. But you gave, I think, one reason about why that faster is important, and that is higher costs with delay. But the other one has to do with federal funding. There was a time, I believe, when some of these corridors would have been built with 80% federal money. That is now down to 50% as kind of a maximum. And potentially one could delay also could cost more federal dollars, I would think.
Madam Chair, when I first went to Washington to advocate for these lines, Congressman Szabo, my congressman, and Congressman Oberstar were both very clear. They said, with Hiawatha, you're a little bit ahead of the pack, but there are 180, back then only 180, now well over 200 projects in line behind you. Don't falter, don't slow down, or they're going to pass you by. And if they pass you by, they're going to take the money from you. And so we need to make sure that we are resolute. We have some projects. Central Corridor is now in preliminary engineering. It's ready to go. They have a commitment on the depot. That thing is primed. We just need to make sure that we keep marching forward so that we get our fair share of the federal funds. And if we do falter, if we don't have the state match, and that is the structural problem that we have here in this region. Most regions in the country have a dedicated funding source for transit investment. We now have MVEST, but that is, once Central Corridor is done, MVEST will be dissipated in terms of capital project investment. The rest of it will be used for operating costs of the bus system and investments in additional buses. So we need a dedicated funding source so that we can have that last piece of the state money in place so that we can compete for the federal money. One of the delays on the key to the delay on North Star was we didn't have the state money in place. A number of you participated in that debate. And we waited and we waited and inflation ate us up. But we need to have the ability to compete for that federal money. And our congressional delegation has always said, get your ducks in line back home, Commissioner, and keep them in line. Don't be fighting among yourselves. Have a vision that you agree to. Get the legislature with you. Get that local money. And the counties, frankly, have been very forthcoming, Madam Chair, as you know, with our share of these projects. We, in fact, at Hennepin County, we cash flowed the construction of Hiawatha. On North Star, there were commitments from Sherburne, Anoka, and Hennepin counties that have helped to keep that project going. And so we need to have that. We need to have the whole package put together. The bonding money that we're requesting this year will help with that. But then
and
the
we're going to make those cases with some bills. And we have just a couple of questions and hope that your answers are quick. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner McLaughlin, very impressed with your presentation. I'm impressed with the need and the concept. But also, just a few questions. Basically, I'm in the minority now, and I have a lot of time to think.
That was from the
I think someone
that
was that's sometimes that's dangerous.
Yes. But to me, the Southwest doesn't mean Eden Prairie. It means Worthington or Marshall. I represent central and parts of central western Minnesota. Is there any long-term vision for anything with mass transit being done in those parts of the state?
Madam Chair,
Commissioner
Ferdahl, intercity rail, that would be not intra-city, intercity rail, which is what you're talking about. There's a growing discussion of that around the country. The discussions that have occurred so far. First, I'll say there's nothing in the works specifically into southwestern Minnesota yet. I'll say that. But what's happening structurally is there is discussion of a high-speed rail connection between Minneapolis-St. Paul and the city of Chicago that would take advantage of the Red Rock route. That is under discussion. We're trying to. We're asking for money this year for that purpose here from the state of Minnesota. Frankly, state transportation departments have taken the lead on that, and frankly, we haven't had much help on that issue in this state. So we're stepping forward to try to advocate for that. There's a discussion of lines to Duluth, and there's studies between the Twin Cities and Duluth, and there are a couple studies that are now being funded for that. We'll look at that. But there. Right now, that's just in the starting stages at the congressional level. Is that Amtrak is sort of woefully underfunded, and they're trying to deal with that. But I think there's been a sea change in Washington, and I'm hopeful that we can get some additional.
And Representative Erdahl, you'll see a map later about that Upper Midwest Rail Initiative and where some of that is imagined. And today, just because we wanted to be sure that we weren't just focusing on the metro. In fact, our very first bill up will be Representative Murphy, who will tell a story, and then Representative Haas, to show how we're beginning to connect, and I do believe that for the long term it will happen. Did you have a follow-up question?
Just real quick, intercity between Litchfield and Minneapolis was in 1869, and those rail lines still go out there, so I hope that someday we can use them again or some variation to do this.
Thank you.
Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll expand on what Representative Erdahl said. And Commissioner, thank you for being here. We appreciate hearing your presentation. You're very good at messaging. You said vision, you said regional vision, you said long-term vision, you said a vision you can agree on. That word vision showed up a lot. I like that. That's good. It's, you worked that in well in your speech. I noted that. However, as Representative Ertl pointed out, and I will go along with him, I think your vision is a bit nearsighted. And nothing against you or anyone else, but we do have to have a broader regional vision. And that vision, unfortunately, I sat here, Madam Chair and members, along with a lot of you, in 1997 when we drew up language, and I was green, I'll admit. I was a younger legislator then, a lot thinner, had more hair. And we drew up a nice plan to study transitways and rail and other things and plan for our future and our vision in this region. However, it all stopped at the 7-county metro borders. It was unbelievable. I mean, when we realized what had happened a few years ago, not one study was done beyond that. And so we don't see Duluth, Mary Murphy. We don't see Rice, Minnesota. We don't see Wilmer. We don't see Mankato. We don't see Red Wing or Winona. We don't see La Crosse showing up on any of your maps or any of the planning maps. And you're a good salesman. And the Met Council is doing a nice job, but there is much more than that. And when you, especially when you talk about a vision we can all agree on and a regional vision, we have to expand that, and we have to do it now. It's not that we're just starting. It's not that, well, they're not ready to go. It's not that, you know, with computers and with planners and with other things, I think very rapidly you could understand the feasibility of a line to Wilmer, Minnesota, a regional center coming down through Litchfield and into town 100 miles west of Minneapolis. You know the populations. You know the condition of the rail. You know the rail traffic. You know it wouldn't take long. So when you're traveling to Washington and when others are traveling, unfortunately, Madam Chair, what we have is a Met Council plan. And we've never had the foresight in the state either to put together a broader authority like they have in Dallas, where we traveled with Representative Wagenius a few years ago to look at their system when she was chair. We haven't put that together, and we are not tying all this together and getting buy-in out and beyond. So I'm just going to put that on the table. I've, as a lot of rural members, I've always supported transit here. But I also support it out to where we are in the hub areas, and we never see it. You did a nice presentation here for 45 minutes almost, and you never mentioned Wilmer or Mankato or Winona, you know.
But I will tell you, we will mention some of those today.
I know you will, but I'm trying to get the message to the people that are out around selling this thing so well. Your maps don't even, you know, I drew them in. I drew the towns in. So it's just, you know.
And in fairness to Commissioner McLaughlin, they are the Metro Transit Ways Development Board. However, we are not. And so our conversation is absolutely much broader than that. And thank you very much, Commissioner McLaughlin, for your presentation. We're going to begin as a demonstration of the truth of what Representative Erdahl and Representative Junkie said, beginning with Representative Mary Murphy from Hermantown to talk about how we will expand. And we're not giving anyone very much time because we have ten bills and a couple of minutes per bill. So welcome to the committee, Representative Murphy. Representative Murphy moves House File 1371.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair and Representative. Representative Junkie, you're absolutely right. And I do understand the vision because I still have the vision and the memory and the spirit of Willard Munger whispering in my ear. And his enthusiasm was every bit as much as the enthusiasm for the Metro plan that was just introduced to you. And I also have the vision and the enthusiasm and inspiration of the chair of the Transportation Committee in the United States Congress, Jim Oberstar, who is my congressman, and the vision of the people that have been working on an inner city rapid transit line, or at least faster than what you can drive on Highway 35 from Duluth to the Twin Cities or from the Twin Cities up north. And with that vision, we sure do understand what more and faster means. Duluth already has a little line from Duluth to two harvests. And we know how much that is enjoyed in the summertime by people and visitors that come. But we need more than something for visitors. We need something that can take us down here and back home every single day if we wanted to. Something that we could use our computers on instead of looking at the scenery sliding by. We have something, a possibility and a vision that can go from up there down here and bring people back up there again. And we have a little problem. We have the rail line for the most part, but we have about a 2 mile area that has to be purchased. And we have some other things that are in development stages. And Bob Manzoline will tell you about that and how we're going to hook up in Anoka County. Elwin Tinklenberg is going to talk about that.
And they have about a minute. And we really mean that. We have 10 bills today.
Madam Chair, if I might start, Bob Manzoline with the St. Louis and Lake County Rail Authority. I'll take 30 seconds. The Duluth Transfer Line Railroad is a small component of rail in Duluth that is being abandoned by CN Railroad, and it's an important part of the link of the inner city rail between Twin Cities and Duluth. That's our number one request. Number two is the engineering and environmental work of a next study we're getting into at the Federal Rail Administration for a study of the whole line to increase the rail speed from its current 55 miles per hour to 79 miles per hour. And that's 30 seconds, I think.
Tinklenberg.
Madam Chair and members, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I just wanted to give a brief comment about the larger scope of the inner city rail service that is being considered. As you know, Madam Chair, this is the reestablishment of inner city rail. It operated until 1985, and we think it's time to put that back in. Many of the things that that were mentioned earlier are driving that interest in terms of all the activity along the corridor, the availability now of cell phones and laptops and all of that. When that line ended in 1985, it was not because it wasn't attracting passengers. It served over 100,000 people that last year of operation, and we think that with all of the activities that are going on along that corridor, it will do twice that when we open it in the next couple of years. And so beyond that, I think the important thing about this line is not only the opportunity it represents, because it's using existing infrastructure. The rail is all there. The other thing that's important is that it does represent the interest that Outstate Minnesota has in these issues. And this is the beginning of discussions about how to reach to Wilmer and how to reach to Mankato and how to reach to Rochester and really expand the vision of transportation throughout the state of Minnesota. And this is an exciting place to start, and we look forward to working with you to make it happen.
And you are equally good salesman. Do you have any concluding comments?
I just have a letter of support from this from the United Transportation Union.
Thank you. Representative Rukavina has a question.
Well, Madam Chair, I'd like to still move some goods before we start moving people, because I think, you know, one of the things that's happening in the metro area, you're running out of aggregate, and I've been trying to work with Mr. Tinklenberg to, we've got all that taconite tailings, the waste product that make great aggregate, and we can't seem to even find a terminal to, and I think we actually gave him a little bit of money in that, but I don't know if he got it yet, and we still can't find a terminal, so I hope he can... does a better job with this rail test. Passenger rail
good question, good question for another day. I'm
for my aggregate here.
Thank you very much for bringing this bill forward. And our second bill is also by an author outside the Seven County metro area, and an indication of how some of our newest members of the legislature are changing things here. Representative Kalin is presenting this bill. Representative Scalzi, please.
Madam Chair, I move to bring House File 386 to the table and for possible inclusion in the capital investment bill.
Representative Scalzi moves House File 386. Representative Kalin, welcome to the committee. You know we're moving very quickly.
I do, and I appreciate the time. Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members. I just wanted to point out that what we're talking about here is the upper right-hand arrow on the northeast of the map, the rush line. My constituents in Chisago County face a unique challenge in that our cost of living is 1% compared to the metro area, but our average income, average wage is 37% lower. So 99%, 1% lower in cost of living, but a good third less are the jobs available. So as a result, 70% of my constituents commute to the Twin Cities for work. Right now, even though we are part of the Metro MnDOT region, we are the 8th county and the 7th county metro region, we have to travel 29.5 miles from our largest city of North Branch to reach any part of the connection of the metro transit system. My bill will do is invest $1 million in the infrastructure to go towards providing bus service and ridership along that corridor. With me today is the chair of my county board, County Commissioner Mike Robinson. Appreciate him coming down. I'd like to just let him speak a little bit about the county's interest in the project.
Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair and members, thank you. Let me speak. I've driven truck for the last 30 years for my, I'm the chair of the county board, and I was on the Rush City Council for 10 years. And I live in Rush City, and that's where the Rush Line got its name, because the line was going to stop at Rush City. Now it's up to Hinckley. I've driven truck for the last 30 years, and it's a big difference between then and now with a freeway system. Before, on Monday to Thursday, you could tell the time of day it was by the traffic, because between 10 and 2 in the afternoon, the freeways were manageable. They aren't anymore. They're packed all the time. We need to do something. As Jeremy said, our people are 67% of the ones that have jobs are driving down the cities to work, and we need to have a better way than what we have. Right now, Congressman Oberstar is probably the most powerful guy for transportation, and there are different people in this room that he's on a first name basis with, and that means a lot, because he thinks he's going to live forever and be what he's doing forever, and I don't know if he is or not. And if he doesn't, we're not going to have the chance that we have right now. There's a saying, and some of you guys are from outside the metro, and you know when you got to bale hay when the hay's dry. And for Minnesota, the hay's dry right now. If we let this opportunity that we have with Congressman Oberstar slip away, we won't have it again. And so anyway, any help that you can do for the Rush Line and for any transportation be appreciated. Thank you.
Any concluding comments from Kalen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I could pander and say that one of the goals of this project will be to make life easier for the CLA of this committee in her commute down, but I will not do that. What I will do is just recognize that we have a good portion of the infrastructure available with existing rail bed. We have a little bit more to do, but so we're hoping to move from bus to proof ridership. I know from door knocking 22,000 doors in the last 2 years that people are ready to hop on board, literally, and really ask for your political courage to make the investment. And I really appreciate your time.
And we thank you for your leadership on the issue and for bringing the bill to us today. And thank you, Commissioner, for being with us.
Thank you.
I'll move House File 380, and I would just ask you members to look at the handouts for Midwest Regional Rail and the maps, because you can begin to get some sense of this vision. We have the good fortune now to have Representative Oberstar as a strong supporter of this concept. It has not been moving very fast, and it's something we want to bring to your attention. The Midwest Regional Rail System is an ongoing effort to develop an improved and expanded passenger rail system in the Midwest. This system focuses on the implementation of high-speed rail systems, I should hasten to add, not high speed as they might know that in Europe, but perhaps for us. It connects population centers via that high-speed rail. The proposed travel time, which is currently 8 hours, would be 5.5 hours to Chicago. There would be six new daily trains to Chicago. You see some maps about that. And again, the Midwest Regional Rail System runs for approximately 130 miles through the state, the one we're interested in, connecting St. Paul to Chicago. The station stops in Minnesota include St. Paul, Red Wing, and Winona. And it will utilize existing rail rights of way shared with freight and commuter services to connect Minnesota with eight other Midwestern states. Again, we do have strong support in Washington on this. And what you begin to see is that we are providing travel choices, not just in our metropolitan area. Commissioner, did you want to speak to this? You are welcome to. Please, come to the table. We're not really taking public testimony today, but we are happy to have you with us because you have a vested interest in this line.
Thank you.
And you can stay right there for the next one, I believe, because we're taking the next corridor after.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Washington County and the Red Rock Corridor are very interested in high-speed rail. We are, as a county and as a community, quite frankly, we're tired of being held hostage by Northwest Airlines, and we'd like to see that our people are given the opportunity to make a different choice to go to Chicago. In working with Wisconsin, we see a very viable WISDOT activity in their program with rail. They have already instituted a line to Milwaukee and are working on other lines. It's time that Minnesota get on board and start working for the Midwest Rail Initiative and put forth the energy to take high-speed rail from St. Paul to Chicago.
And you can stay right there and be joined by Representative Bigham. Is she in the room?
Yes, she is.
Madam Chair.
Representative Leader.
If I may, I'd just like to comment before they start.
Yes.
I'd like to comment to the membership that actually, the reason all the activity's been in the metro area is because they funded it. There's no way, and I've been around in the legislature, involved in the committee, we have never funded anything. In fact, the Minnesota Department of Transportation was originally highway, so there's no function within the department to do any of these studies or to do anything with light rail. And we actually have now in the Department of Transportation a small transit office. So there's really no opportunity for any of this to develop outside the metro area. Mm-hmm. The metro area, to their credit, have put the money in it for all this. And as I just sit here and looking right now, we're trying to keep the existing transit system we have with a bill we're coming up, which we may not even be able to fund the existing transit system. And I think we've got close to $100 million in requests right here for bonding right now. Mm-hmm. So we've got a real problem. And until the legislature recognizes that we need money for transportation, I think this is a lot of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry about that. I served on a high-speed rail commission for probably 6-8 years and never funded to be able to go to a meeting. So that's the attitude we've had in the legislature. And I think until we change that legislature, we can come in with all this request and spend a lot of money on studies, and nothing's going to happen. We've got to start funding transportation. Transit and highways and the whole works.
Thanks. There is the voice of wisdom and experience that, and a little dose of reality that we need for today. Representative Scalzi.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move House File 418 be recommended for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Representative Bigham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have an author's amendment.
Okay.
Representative Scalzi. That it is in proper form.
I move the amendment, the author's amendment, to get the bill into the shape that the author would like.
0204 members to get the bill before us. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion carries, and that Bill is before us as amended. Representative Bigham.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members. I have here today Washington County Commissioner Mary Peterson, who I'm just going to briefly talk about the bill and then turn it over to her, who I consider a East Metro transportation expert, in my opinion. Red Rock Corridor is a transitway, a wonderful commuter rail that would run from Hastings to St. Paul, stopping at the Union Depot. The bill before you asked for $1.5 million for design and construction of park and rides along the corridor, with pre-designed for an extension to Red Wing. The communities along the corridor, which include Red Wing, also Goodhue County, which is where Red Wing is, Hastings, Cottage Grove, St. Paul Park, Newport, all the way up to St. Paul, which would also have Washington County in it, have been supportive of this project. We have an increasing ridership on our buses, and we also have an increase in traffic in our area. This is a very needed project, and I'm not too proud to beg for it. So I will turn that over to Washington County Commissioner Myra Peterson.
Thank you. Commissioner, I am Myra Peterson, Washington County Commissioner. I'm also chair of the Red Rock Rail Corridor, and I'm also chair of the Washington County Regional Rail Authority. This corridor has been identified as one of the second-tier corridors to be developed, and we have been working on it for about 4 years. It is not only a vision, it is a reality. And the reality is that we are looking and working with Red Wing and Goodhue County and the Prairie Island Nation of Indians also. We have been approached by Goodhue and Prairie Island to be a part of the Red Rock Rail Corridor. So the $1.5 million that we're asking for in this bonding bill will actually be to establish a park and ride in Hastings. And it is quite accidentally on purpose right at the old depot in Hastings. And we are also working with the city of Red Wing to do a park and ride there. This corridor will utilize the same corridor as the high-speed rail corridor. So the investments that we make along this corridor will enhance both kinds of rail opportunity. The thing that's important to do these bills and to identify these corridors now is that 2008, most of our cities are working for their comprehensive plan amendment updates. If we make plans and create a vision so that our cities can develop densities that will support the kind of investment that these rail corridors need, it's good public policy and good planning. The updates that we make to our rail corridor for high speed will enhance Red Rock. The investments that we make for Red Rock will enhance high speed. So I would hope that you could support this bonding request, and that we're looking forward to arriving in St. Paul at the Union Depot, where we do have a seamless connection, and we can go from high speed to commuter rail to light rail to bus or to take that taxi. So thank you very much.
Any concluding comments for the author?
I just would really appreciate your support on this. This is a great tool for economic development and also to for the environment, and to have more people spending time with their families than on 61.
And the commissioner was here for questions if there were, or did you? Okay. All these bills today will be laid over, and we're not voting on anything today. Commissioner.
One concluding comment. I think it is important that as we talk about a vision, there certainly is one that has been put together by the Regional Rail Authority, but no transportation system is complete unless we have also the bus system that exists today.
We keep saying the bus is the workhorse of the system. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, members.
Representative Buns, please come forward. And are you being joined by Representative Swales? Representative Dean.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move Representative LaFond's bill. I don't have the number.
House File 959.
House File 959.
And there is a an amendment, Representative Dean.
Move
amendment 0205. That's a delete all that I'm assuming the author will explain to us to get that before you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the bill is before us as amended. Representative Bunn.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. What an exciting afternoon this is with this tremendously new vision for transportation in our state to get us moving forward. And here today to build on some of the elements you've already heard about today, elements for our whole state and elements also for the East Metro. You've heard some of those elements, the Central Corridor, the Union Depot, the Rush Line, the Red Lock Line, etc. I'm here to speak on behalf of yet another component of this vision for the East Metro and the eastern portion of our state for transportation and transit improvements along the I-94 corridor, a needed element here. Why am I referring to this last element? If you look at the 2030 vision plan on the poster to my right and your left, you'll notice on the eastern portion of it, and maybe Ms. Mike Rogers can point to the area, we have the two lines going north and south on the edge of St. Paul. But to the east of that, there is nothing. And this is in year 2030. There is nothing. And in that area, you have the I-94 corridor, and you have the 36 going all the way out to the river, and there's no transit planning in that map, that area, hence the reason for our existence. Because of that, you've seen a tremendous, since the first week of this session, both mobilization and organization of the legislators from the East Metro. I have today joining me on this Representative Swells and also Mike Rogers, who's the Associate Director for Transportation Planning for Washington County. Just want to briefly touch on the bill, but before that, I want to give you a little inspiration for the need for this project and our readiness to have transit alternatives by having Representative Swales talk briefly about what we're seeing from our constituents and the people in our community.
Representative Swales, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee. I'll keep this very brief, but last night we did enjoy having the transportation and transit committees from both the Senate and the House join us for a town hall meeting in Woodbury. The citizens there, I think, were very eloquent in their need for this. We heard from members who are from Courage Center who live in the St. Croix facility there, saying how desperately they need transportation. We have citizens who cannot find space at the park and ride. We have cities along the I-94 corridor that are growing. Woodbury is growing at 300 units per year, and that is happening all along the I-94 corridor. There is a demand and there is a need. When I first moved to Woodbury in 1985, there were only 6,000 people in that community. Now we have 60,000, and in the year 2025, we will be at in excess of 100,000 people. And this is consistent with the growth in all of the communities along that corridor. Our citizens have expressed that they are a little bit weary because a lot of major projects in construction for roads and transit have happened around the metro area, and they feel that their tax dollars have paid for those projects, and yet they have received nothing in return. In fact, we have seen our bus routes cut. We have seen a reduction of service to the East Metro. All we're asking for is an opportunity for us to be players in this as well. We believe that the growth that's happening on the East Metro side is profound, and we would really love for your support so that we can get that transit and transportation system moving.
Do you have additional comments, Mr. Rogers?
Yes, I'll keep them brief, Madam Chair and members. Many of you know the region's growing. A million people over the next 20 years, a lot of them are going to settle in the 94 corridor. We want to maintain the mobility of residents in that corridor, and that also helps with the economics of the businesses in the corridor, and that's why Washington County is so supportive of this and why Ramsey County has been involved and other business organizations and city councils and everything are supportive of this corridor. So one thing that I think gets lost being 94 in an east metro corridor as compared to maybe 94 as a west metro corridor are the volumes of traffic. We hear a lot about the west side with traffic, but I think it's important, and it is on the fact sheet that was handed out to you, and just how much traffic is on 94. At the St. Croix River Bridge, right at the state line, there's 82,000 vehicles a day. That's the same as what I-94 carries in Rogers. At Trunk Highway 61, just to the east side of downtown St. Paul, there's 130,000 vehicles a day. That's as much as 394 carries to Golden Valley. So we tend to think that there's less over here, or many of us tend to think that, because we get focused on the West Metro, and there are many issues out there too, but I think it's important to realize that everybody's got the same issues. There's a lot of traffic. Everybody needs to maintain their mobility, and that's why getting this money to help us figure out not only what a transit solution is out here, but to look at what highway improvements are also needed. A multimodal solution will help us continue to make this corridor and the region a great place to live.
Representative Bunn, concluding comments?
Madam Chair, well, I just wanted to clarify, you asked about where the bill is. First of all, the bill is for $1 million appropriated from bonds for this. It's for transportation and transit improvements, pre-design, preliminary engineering. The differences between the original bill and this amendment are clarifying the starting and stopping point and also clarifying that all money will be spent on Minnesota, even though the corridor extends to Wisconsin. So those were the changes in the amendment. And in conclusion, I want to mention also that we have resolutions from our county commissioners, from the county, from Woodbury Chamber of Commerce, from the City of Woodbury, from the Ramsey County Regional Rail Authority, from the City of Lakeland, the City of Park Heights, the City of Lake Elmo. These are all the cities along our districts, along this corridor, as well as supporting organizations that are off the immediate corridor that are in support of this effort.
And if you could leave those with the committee, we'll include those in your file. We thank you very much for bringing the bill forward and for your leadership, and it will be laid over as well.
Thank you.
Members, if you would, there are handouts. The next two, I'm going to move House File 379. Here's the story we've told so far today. Beginning in Duluth, coming down and connecting with the Rush Line Corridor and into St. Paul, beginning in Chicago and up the border of Minnesota, connecting with the Red Rock Corridor and into the city of St. Paul, and then 94, beginning at the Wisconsin border and coming into the city of St. Paul. And we talked about seamless systems and modes coming together, and though they meet at St. Paul Union Depot, and that is House File 379. The depot is located in downtown St. Paul's Lower Town area. It's just 1 mile south of the state capitol. It was built in 1923 to serve passenger and freight, and at its peak served more than 200 passenger trains daily. And the once bustling depot closed its doors in 1971. When it is redeveloped, the depot will serve Amtrak, intercity buses operated by Greyhound and Jefferson Lines, Central Corridor light rail transit, metro transit buses, bicycles, and pedestrian traffic, and of course, Red Rock, Rush Line, and Midwest High-Speed Rail. So it becomes a hub. The Safety Lou bill in Washington provided $50 million for the Union Depot project as a project of national and regional significance, and we are seeking additional local or state funds for planning, environmental, and engineering work. Of course, all of that would be cut off if it were not connected to the West Metro. And so I move House File 381. That is the connection that connects all those corridors we've just been talking about in the east to some that we will now talk about in the west, and that is the Central Corridor. An 11-mile Central Corridor link to the Hiawatha Light Rail Line in downtown Minneapolis. It connects two downtowns, University of Minnesota, St. Paul's Midway Commercial District, and, of course, the state capitol. At the Union Depot, passengers will be able to transfer to local and intercity buses from these other Red Rock and Rush Line, etc. The Central Corridor will have 16 new light rail stations and share 5 existing stations with the Hiawatha Line. Preliminary engineering is set to begin in spring 2007 and will last about 2 years. Final design will begin in 2009 and take about a year, and construction would begin in 2010 with service beginning in 2014. is projected to provide 43,000 rides a day. The corridor is home to 120,000 people, 280,000 jobs. That number is expected to grow to 345,000 jobs. The experience with the Hiawatha Light Rail Line, as we saw the initial projections and then what is in fact reality, give the Central Corridor Project partners confidence in these projections. Half of the project costs will come from the federal government. The remainder will be shared by the state, Ramsey and Hennepin County. Central Corridor is mostly in St. Paul, but also partly in Minneapolis and Hennepin County. That is the issue we are bringing before you as we connect to the West Metro. Again, all of these bills are held here in the committee. The West Metro planning on a new corridor. Representative Slayman, would you join us, please? Representative Burns?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'll move House File 1216.
Senator Burns moves House File 1216. Representative Slayman, welcome to the committee, and I don't know if you're inviting people to the table with you or...
I am at backup, and I don't know if Katie Walker is here, the project manager. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. A quick plug for the Southwest Corridor. This is the corridor, of course, the light rail, a corridor that will go from Minneapolis through St. Louis Park and Hawkins, which I represent, and into Eden Prairie. And this is really a vital part of the overall vision for the region, not just those particular suburbs, but for the whole region. It's where a lot of people are, it's where a lot of growth is, and it's where there's a lot of economic impact as well. And I might add, too, that there's really an appetite for this there. You know, I know that although I wasn't in the legislature back in 2004 when the Hiawatha line opened, even I, who supported it, could not have dreamed that it would have the sustained popularity that it has. And I think that shows that in that region, there is a real appetite for transit, and particularly for LRT. So we're thrilled to be before the committee and asking humbly for $1 million request to fund a draft EIS study as well. I have to say that I'm pleased by the discussion that I saw here earlier when Representative Junkie and others were talking about the lack of rail planning for greater Minnesota. It seems to me, although again I wasn't in the legislature, this is sort of a 180 from what the debate used to be when we were talking about whether this is all just some big boondoggle. Now here we are fighting over who gets it. And I think that's because of the success of Hiawatha. And Hiawatha, of course, was never intended to be an orphan line. It was intended to be the first of several lines, and the Southwest Corridor will help complement and help complete that regional picture. So I'm happy to be here and ask for your support for this very important project, not just for the communities I represent, but for the entire region.
Ms. Madsen, welcome to the committee.
I'm Katie Walker with.
Oh, Katie Walker. I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong bill. Katie Walker.
With Hennepin County, and I serve as the Southwest Project Manager. And I just wanted to take just a very brief amount of time and just to give you a little more background on what Hennepin County has been doing over the past couple years, partnering with our cities that would be affected by this project, as well as the Metropolitan Council and our business community. As Representative Simon's been talking about, we have been out working with the communities to explore different transit options for these communities to serve the growing demand for travel throughout these communities. The southwest portion of the metro area has been fast growing in the past decade, and it is projected to continue to grow. We did explore a number of different transit options. We looked at bus rapid transit as well as light rail transit. We did a thorough analysis evaluating those options. We've narrowed it down to light rail as our preferred transit technology, and we have three routing alignments we want to continue to look at. Those routing alignments do serve a lot of our business concentrations and nodes out in this area. Like I said, we do have a lot of support from our cities. We have resolutions of support passed by our member communities as well as the four affected chambers of commerce. The four chambers of commerce, the Minneapolis Regional Chamber, the Twin West Chamber, the Eden Prairie Chamber, and the Edina Chamber, have banded together to form a Southwest Transitway Alliance to promote this corridor. So we do have a lot of their support, and we would hope that we could have your support as well as we move into this draft environmental impact statement process. concluding comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There was to be a representative from the Twin West Chamber of Commerce. I don't think he's here, but I think I'm authorized to say that the Twin West Chamber of Commerce in the Western Suburbs is a very strong proponent, not only of this bill, but of the entire Southwest Corridor. It'll be a real dynamic addition to our corner of the metro area. Thank you, and thank you, members, for your time.
And it's an indication of how life has changed, because I can remember a number of years ago when bringing a bill like this for that corridor would have been a very controversial thing, and obviously you have the entire community together at this point. Concluding comments? If not, thank you, Representative Simon. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to move for my colleague, Representative Lincheski, House File 581, and then there is a delete all amendment.
Okay. And you are moving the
581 and then the amendment, the DE1 amendment.
Senator Peterson moves DE1 amendment to delete all. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, can I consult with my client here? I don't think we're asking for enough money. And given the numbers that are going around today, we're probably being too cheap. Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Representative Lenchewski, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Peterson, and thank you all committee members. The amendment, what it did is put the right language in. Being a transit novice on drafting, I actually instructed House Research to draft it incorrectly. I've been corrected, and this is the kind of transit feasibility study that this committee would be used to seeing. So it's just getting it in its proper form. You should be receiving a map. The cities that are on the map are working with us and our Hennepin County commissioners. I want to thank Representative Peterson, of course, Representative Benson, Earhart, Slocum, Thiessen, and Rood, who are my co-authors. We have a bipartisan group of senators as well who had this bill heard a few days ago. And I just want to, Madam Chair, tell you thank you so much for squeezing me on the agenda. Really, it means a lot. We would like to link up the Southwest Corridor proposal that Representative Simon just covered with the end of the Hiawatha light rail line right now at the airport. That's all this contemplates to do, is to get the study money to begin to think through if that's possible. That's it, Madam Chair.
And members, if you're tracking on that map, the Hiawatha Corridor and, of course, the Southwest Corridor, this becomes the third leg of that triangle, I believe, Representative Lincheski. Representative Guineas.
Thank you, Representative Lincheski. This is so, it's about time. I'm thrilled with this one. I really am. This is so needed and a new way of thinking about that quarter. I am excited.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Wiginius, for saying that. And Representative Wiginius, I don't know, because we haven't talked about this, you and I.
We have.
But this corridor was not a group of transit supporters, and this is an evolution. So I don't know if you're getting at that, but it took a long time for folks in this area to understand that this is a solution. So I really appreciate the committee's time.
Thank you, Representative Lincheski, and this bill will again be laid over.
Thank you.
And our last bill, again, is a wonderful, you know, sort of where we began with the questions and good comments from Representative Erdahl and Representative Junkie, and that is we need to break through this mentality of a kind of a seven-county metro area. And Representative Tinglestad, who has had a great deal of interest in part of this line.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move that House File 1782 be considered for consideration in this committee.
Representative Haas, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. We're asking for an appropriation of $750,000 for a technical analysis for the extension of the commuter rail service from Big Lake to Rice. Some people have called this in the St. Cloud Times a phase two. I call it an unfinished phase one. We have a great deal of things are happening throughout the state of Minnesota. One of them is the baby boomers. I know a lot about them because I'm a little bit older than they are, and I thought if I could stop quick, I could just let them pass me by. But as soon as one of the baby boomers says, I do not want to drive anymore, there's going to be an awful lot of them say that. In the United States, somebody is celebrating their 60th birthday every 7.7 seconds.
We also have an amazing amount of North Metro students that are coming to St. Cloud that this train doesn't work for unless they walk from Big Lake to St. Cloud. And that's quite a journey. We also have two of the veterans' hospitals that could be connected. This is a vision almost completed. This is your vision almost completed. We have with us today another representative, which shows you what is happening in the outstate, and I wouldn't want him to address why he's interested in this so he can get to where.
Representative Doty, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My district begins 6 miles past Rice and extends further north. And I want to condense my usual 45 minutes of explanation here to really 7 important words. Rice is good. Camp Ripley is better. This is an opinion that I share with Congressman Oberstar. And if you recall, he said that when he was at the joint presentation here a couple weeks ago. Besides all the National Guard travel that everybody's used to, the state's Veterans Cemetery is located there with thousands of trips a year. It's a training center for the DNR, for snowplow drivers, and many, many, many other state agencies. There's a Boy Scout, I believe it's a 10,000 troop, scout troop thing going on there this year. The disabled hunters have seasons there. There's a tremendous number of activities that, besides the National Guard convoys that you see on the roads, that could be reduced. I can't speak to either the benefits of to national security, or possibly more importantly, to the potential funding related to that. But they could both be very important issues for this committee to consider. I will conclude with those same 7 words. Rice is good. Camp Ripley is better.
And Ms. Bostick, were you here for questions, or do you have additional testimony?
You have a couple minutes.
Please.
Madam Chair, Lucy Bostick. I'm the Deputy Administrator for Sherburn County, and I'm actually here on behalf of Commissioner Felix Schmiesing, who was totally unable to be here despite efforts to do so, who is the Phase 2 chair of the North Star Corridor. We are working hard to be ready to let the train run further. It's taken 10 years to get to this point. We're not going to have it take another 10 years to get to Rice and beyond. And so we appreciate your support for this legislation and can assure you that a lot of the public and private entities along the way are also hoping that you will support the funding for Phase 2.
Mr. Haas.
Thank you very much for your consideration and listening to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And members, Representative Haas, we have a question. Representative Leader.
No, thank you. I just wanted to catch before we adjourn. I'd like to make a comment.
Okay. We are going to revert to the previous bill because I had referenced Ms. Mattson on an earlier bill, got misplaced, and we didn't invite her to the table. Is she still here in the room? She's standing at the door. Ms. Mattson, did you...
Hello.
I'm sorry. I should have invited you to join Representative Lunchesky at the table.
No, not at all. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. Melissa Madison from the 494 Corridor Commission and 494 Commuter Services. Thank you for this opportunity to tell you a little bit about what we do and some of our key accomplishments. In 2002, the 494 Corridor Commission studied travel behavior along the corridor and found that 95% of the trips were being taken by solo drivers. And that led to the creation of 494 Commuter Services. And 494 Commuter Services works with employers and property managers to reach the tenants and the employees with information about free resources and free services to encourage people to try transit, try rail, try carpooling, biking, anything other than driving alone. And to just provide you a couple of highlights, we survey the people who approach us as drive-alone commuters, and we want to determine if they were able to try the mode that we helped them out with, and if they tried, did they
in the end, convert from driving alone. And each year we find about 1,000 people that we help do convert from driving alone to their new mode, which every 1,000 people represent approximately 9 million vehicle miles not traveled. And just in closing, I'd like to say that the 494 Corridor Commission supports this bill. And thank you for your time.
Thank you for joining us. And members, as just a concluding comment to this marathon 10 bills, Representative Erdahl and Representative Junkie didn't know. They set us up perfectly for this because, in fact, the comments they made really are happening all over the state. I can tell you that I have had people from Rochester in my office at least three times this year. One of their questions was, why are Duluth and St. Cloud ahead of us? And so we've had good productive conversations. I have had conversation with people who live along that Lanesboro-Preston corridor who suddenly see all sorts of tourism and economic development possibilities if this high-speed rail comes up from Chicago and right at La Crescent. And they are looking for the connection across the river and can imagine that people can come down from the Twin Cities or up from Chicago and bring their bikes and connect to that wonderfully scenic part of southern Minnesota, south of Highway 90. So these conversations, I think, are changing people's thought process all around the state. Representative Kennedy.
I'm just curious. How many people in the room today took mass transit to get to the Capitol? Could you raise your hand, please?
In the audience?
Yeah, at the table and the audience.
Representative Wagenius has a response to that.
Well, no, I asked first, can they raise their hand?
No. For what? Respond to that.
Who took mass transit today to the Capitol?
I did not. It's not available. That's what this whole discussion is about. We don't have the availability in the metro area right now.
Well, Madam Chair, aren't there buses that come here, Representative Wagenius?
If I were to transfer two times and take an hour and a half, yes, we don't have good service. The one time I went home on the bus, it took me an hour and a half. It takes me 20 minutes to drive.
I have a feeling Representative Leader has something to add to
that. Not on that issue.
No, not on that issue.
I took that chance that today Representative Junkie drove me.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to reiterate, I think looking at the group we have, Representative Peterson and I happen to serve on transportation. And today, the total requests that you have here are $67,950,000. We don't have enough money to keep the metro transit and rural transit operating right now. We're struggling how to do it. And we're going to fund a whole bunch of studies and research and still accomplish nothing. The problem we have, we don't have any funding. And if we don't do something about passing some bills, forget it. You're going to lose the transit system you have in the metro area. We're going to cut back. You're going to see it next year. The level of funding we probably have in this bill is going to be lucky if we can retain the level we have for metro and rural right now, because you know the situation with highway funding and transit funding. It's not there. It just doesn't appear it's going to be there. We're going to try it, but unless there's support in the legislature, that's exactly happened. And this is the same group, Representative Peterson, you saw who testified today. 2 days ago, we had one of these groups vehemently opposed to any increase in gasoline or transit. The same group that's in here now. And they were vehemently opposed to it. And here they're coming in and asking for how much money. Representative Peterson, correct. Anyhow, that's my comment. We better start addressing this problem. We've got some real problems.
And I have the good fortune to serve on transportation finance with Representative Leader, and can tell you he has been in the forefront of that and has been challenging us on that. And I suspect very soon will provide us an opportunity to do just what he has suggested. Members, there is a tour of the depot tomorrow, Friday. If any of you want to go down and see, I think they get to go inside, right, and see the concourse, a tour of the depot tomorrow, Friday. There will be a bus in front of the Capitol at 10 a.m. It will leave by 10:15, and it will be back at 11:30. And so if any members want to see that one piece of the presentation today, that is available. And on Tuesday, March 13th at 2:15, and we have reserved a room for that evening because though we made it through 10 bills today, I don't know whether we'll do as well that that day, so we're reserving some time in the evening should that be necessary. Any other Representative Erdahl?
Tuesday, are we in the basement? Or
we are back in the basement.
Well, I'd rather be here, but...
We would rather be here. I'm sorry? In the evening, we have 500 North reserved. So, Representative Hansen moves minutes of March 6th. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes are, motion carried, minutes are approved, and I believe that concludes a very full day. Thank you, members. Meeting is adjourned.